Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. In Genesis 1 and 2, God made all things good. Man was created by God, placed in the garden, given purpose, and blessed to fellowship with his Creator. But in Genesis 3, sin entered the world through disobedience to God's command. God willing, this lesson will show how sin began, what sin did, and why man needs God's mercy and redemption. The fall of man was not a small mistake. It was the entrance of sin, shame, separation, sorrow, and death. Yet even in judgment, God gave the first promise of victory over the serpent. A simple way to understand the lesson is this: God spoke, Satan deceived, man disobeyed, sin entered, and death followed. But God also revealed hope. Before we look at Adam and Eve's disobedience, we must first notice how sin was introduced. Sin did not begin with honest confusion, but with the serpent's deception. The first thing the serpent did was not deny God openly. The serpent questioned God's word. Genesis 3 opens with the serpent speaking to the woman. His first words were designed to create doubt about God's command. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Genesis 3:1-3. Subtle means crafty, cunning, or deceitful. The serpent did not begin by saying God is wrong. He began with a question: "Yea, hath God said?" This shows that one of Satan's first tactics is to make people doubt, weaken, or question God's word. Paul later warns that Satan's method in Genesis 3 was deception. This helps us understand what was happening spiritually in the garden. He said, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." 2 Corinthians 11:3. Beguiled means deceived or led astray. Satan used craftiness to corrupt the mind. Satan or sin often begins when the mind is moved away from simple trust and obedience to God. A road sign may say, "Bridge out, do not cross." If someone asks, "Did the sign really mean that?" Danger begins before the person ever proceeds forward. In the same way, danger began when the serpent caused Eve to question God's clear warning. Sin often begins when God's word is doubted, softened, questioned, or changed. After questioning God's word, the serpent then moved from doubt to direct denial. The serpent denied God's warning. God had warned that disobedience would bring death. The serpent directly contradicted God's warning. Scripture says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3:4-5. The words, "ye shall not surely die," directly deny God's warning. The serpent promised benefit, wisdom, and exaltation, but he hid the sorrow, shame, separation, and death that would follow. Jesus identifies the devil's nature. This helps us understand the serpent's words in Genesis 3. To the group of unbelieving Jews, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8, verse 44. The devil is called a liar and the father of it. His work is to oppose truth. In Genesis 3, he lied by denying the consequence that God had plainly declared. James shows that temptation often works through desire, which leads to sin and death. He said, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." James 1, 14 through 15. Enticed means lured or drawn in. Temptation promises pleasure, but sin produces death. This agrees with what happened in Genesis 3. A fishing lure looks attractive to the fish, but the hook is hidden. The serpent made sin look desirable, but the hook was death. Satan deceives by denying God's warning and making sin appear harmless or beneficial. The fall of man began with deception. The serpent questioned God's word, denied God's warning, and appealed to human desire. This teaches us that we must never treat God's word lightly. When God has spoken, man must believe and obey. Now that we've seen the deception of the serpent, we must look at the choice made by man. Temptation is not the same as sin. Sin came with man's disobedience. Sin is choosing our will over God's command. The Bible shows that Eve looked, desired, took, and ate. This pattern teaches us how sin often works in the heart. Desire led to disobedience. Genesis 3:6 shows the moment when desire moved into action. Eve saw the fruit as good, pleasant, and desirable. The biblical record says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Genesis 3:6. The words good, pleasant, and desired show the appeal of temptation. But something can look good to the eyes and still be wrong before God. The issue was not the appearance of the fruit, but the command of God. John warns Christians about the desires of the world. These same categories help us understand what happened in the garden. John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." 1 John 2:15 through 17. Lust means strong desire, especially desire that moves the heart away from God. Eve saw the fruit as good for food, which is lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, which is lust of the eyes, and able to make one wise, which is pride of life. Sin often appeals to desire, sight, and pride. A child may see a cookie and want it, but if his father has said, "Do not eat that," The question is not whether the cookie looks good. The question is whether the child will obey. Sin is not measured by how attractive something appears. Sin is measured by whether it violates the will of God. The Bible shows that the responsibility for sin is real and personal. Sin did not remain only with Eve. Adam also disobeyed God. The Bible does not excuse Adam. Though Eve was deceived, Adam also disobeyed. Again, Scripture says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Genesis 3:6. The words "he did eat" are simple, but serious. Adam also chose to disobey God's command. Paul explains the seriousness of Adam's sin and how sin entered the world. He said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 5 and verse 12. Sin entered into the world through man's disobedience. Death by sin means death followed as the consequence of sin. Romans 5:12 reminds us that all accountable people have sinned. Paul also explains the order of deception and transgression. He said, "Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression." 1 Timothy 2:14. Transgression means crossing the line of God's command. Eve was deceived, but both Adam and Eve sinned by violating God's instruction. Blame does not remove guilt. If one person convinces another to do wrong, both are still responsible for their choices before God. Adam and Eve both disobeyed God. Sin is personal, serious, and accountable before the Lord. Man's fall was not caused by a lack of information. God has spoken clearly. Sin entered when God's command was rejected and man chose his own desire over God's will. This teaches us that obedience matters. After sin entered, the consequences of sin were immediate. Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, but not in the glorious way the serpent suggested. Sin brought shame and fear. After Adam and Eve sinned, they immediately recognized their nakedness and tried to cover themselves. Scripture says, "And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Genesis 3, 7-10. Naked here shows shame and exposure after sin. Hid shows fear and separation. Sin changes how man stood before God. Instead of fellowship, there was fear. Isaiah shows that sin separates man from God. "Behold, the Lord's hand is now shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Iniquities are sins or lawless actions. Sin separates man from God. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve hid physically, but the greater problem was spiritual separation. When a child does wrong, he may hide from his parent. Not because the parent has changed, but because guilt has changed the child's heart. Sin makes man afraid to stand before God. Sin brings shame and fear because sin exposes guilt before God. Sin also damaged human relationships. Sin brought blame, sorrow, and death. When God questioned Adam and Eve, both attempted to shift responsibility. God said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3:11-13. Beguiled means deceived. Adam blamed God and the woman. Eve blamed the serpent. Yet both still admitted, "I did eat." Blame did not remove guilt. God then pronounced consequences. Sin brought sorrow into life and death to the body. Scripture says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Genesis 3:16-19. Sorrow means pain, grief, toil, and hardship. "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return," refers to physical death. Sin brought painful consequences in human life. Paul summarizes the wages of sin. He said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6:23. Wages means what is earned. Death is what sin earns. But the verse also points to God's gift of eternal life through Christ. Sin is like throwing a stone into water. The first splash may seem small, but the ripples spread outward. Adam and Eve's sin affected their hearts, their home, their labor, their bodies, and the whole entire world. Sin does not remain small. It brings blame, sorrow, hardship, separation, and death. The serpent promised again, promised gain rather, but sin brought loss. Sin brought shame before God, fear in the heart, blame between people, sorrow in life, and death to the body. This helps us understand why sin must never be treated lightly. Genesis 3 is dark because sin entered, but it is not without hope. God judged sin, but he also showed mercy and gave the first promise of victory. Let's now look into God's judgment and mercy, the need for redemption. God did not ignore sin. His holiness required judgment. But in his judgment against the serpent, God also revealed a coming victory. God judged the serpent and promised victory. God first addressed the serpent. In this judgment, God revealed that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. The Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:14-15. Enmity means hostility or opposition. "Bruise thy head" points to a decisive defeat of the serpent. bruise his heel shows suffering, but not final defeat. This is the first great promise that God would bring victory over the serpent. The New Testament shows that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." 1 John 3 and verse 8. Manifested means revealed or made known. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Genesis 3:15 begins the Bible's unfolding promise of victory through Christ. Hebrews also teaches that Jesus overcame the power of death. "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Hebrews 2:14-15. Destroy here means to render powerless or to bring to nothing. Jesus conquered through his death and provides deliverance from bondage. Genesis 3 shows the beginning of sin's tragedy, but also the beginning of God's revealed promise. God did not leave man without hope. God judged the serpent and promised that victory would come through the seed of woman fulfilled in Christ. God also showed mercy to Adam and Eve. This teaches us mercy does not mean sin has no consequence. God covered man and removed him from the garden. Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, but God made coats of skins for him. Scripture says, "And Adam also and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." Genesis 3:21. Clothed means covered. Adam and Eve made fig leaves, but God provided a proper covering. This shows mercy after sin, though sin's consequences remained. God then removed man from the garden so he would not eat of the tree of life and live forever in that fallen condition. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Genesis 3:22-24. Cherubims are heavenly beings. The flaming sword guarded access to the tree of life. Man was removed from the garden because sin had broken fellowship with God. The New Testament shows that access to life is found in Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Jesus is the way to the Father. Sin separated man from God, but Christ provides the way of reconciliation. A locked door reminds us that access has been restricted. After sin, man could not simply walk back into the garden. But through Christ, God provides the way back to fellowship and life. God shows mercy by covering Adam and Eve, but he also removed them from the garden. Sin brings real consequences, and man needs God's way of redemption. Genesis 3 reveals both judgment and mercy. God punished sin, but he also promised victory. Man lost access to Eden, but God began revealing his plan to bring salvation through Christ. As we close with some final thoughts, we should not see Genesis 3 as merely an ancient event. It explains the world we live in, the problem of sin, and the need for salvation. Genesis 3 teaches that sin entered the world through disobedience to God's command. The serpent deceived Eve by questioning God's word and denying God's warning. Eve desired the fruit, took it, ate it, and gave it to Adam. Adam also ate. Immediately, shame, fear, hiding, blame, sorrow, and death followed. But Genesis 3 also teaches hope. God did not leave man without a promise. He spoke of the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. The rest of Scripture shows that this victory is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Some lessons learned. God's word must be trusted. Sin began when God's word was questioned and denied. Sin is disobedience to God. It is not determined by what looks good to man, but by what God has commanded. Sin brings consequences. Shame, fear, sorrow, separation, and death entered because of sin. Blame does not remove guilt. Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the serpent, but both were still accountable. God provides hope through Christ. Genesis 3:15 points forward to the victory of Christ over the devil. If a person becomes sick, he must understand the sickness before he understands the need for medicine. Genesis 3 helps us understand the sickness of sin. The rest of God's word shows us the remedy in Christ Jesus. Sin entered through disobedience, but salvation is made possible through the obedience, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours. It is the Lord who invites, and we await to assist. If you have a spiritual need, won't you come? While together we stand and sing.
All four of 280. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come.